Last time on the Skip and Josh podcast.
But team of the year, Josh, over the Raptors, who are the first Canadian franchise ever to win an NBA championship. A team that captivated this entire country. We had viewing parties on the streets in Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal. Like the whole country got wrapped up in the Raptors.
Like, except, to me, that's except like... Except me. Like, I was... You understand, living in this city and not caring about the Raptors, because I've never cared about the Raptors. I know they've been around for 25 years. I'm not going to all of a sudden wake up one day and say, oh, I'm a Raptors fan, because I'm not.
You're listening to the Skip and Josh podcast with Skip Sherman and Josh Obadia.
I'm Josh in Toronto.
And I'm Skip in Montreal.
In today's episode, Skip's favorite teams...
The Habs make another blockbuster trade.
And strange NBA notes.
But first, the NFL playoffs.
Okay, Skip, so the problem when we wait too long to record is that now we have a lot of things to talk about, more than a week's worth of stuff. So that means that I was busy Thursday, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that means that your recap of the 2020 MLS Super Draft is going to have to wait until next episode because we just don't have enough time to do that today.
Gotcha. Okay. I better get cracking on doing that.
Right, because I didn't get a chance to watch it on Thursday. I was busy, so...
Right, okay. Sure.
So, and now, even though we have a ton of stuff, we've got to do a little bit of a housekeeping here.
Okay.
I need to make a correction from our last episode.
Oh, you love the corrections.
Well, I prefer not to have to make them, but last episode I talked about the movie The Founder, which I liked...
Yeah.
And I said that it was about the guy who founded KFC, but in fact, it's about the guy who founded McDonald's, not KFC.
Oh, McDonald's. That's why you threw me off when you said it. And I was like, yo, yeah, that makes sense. And I had a feeling, you're right. Oh, McDonald's. That's a huge difference, no?
I'm surprised none of our listeners sent in any emails to correct us, or me.
I do have listener mail if you want to start with that.
I don't want to start with that, but... I did want to make that correction. We may not have time to get to listener mail for the same reason we don't have time to get to the MLS Super Draft recap.
The National Football League.
So I just want to set the scene and let people know when we're actually recording, because we're probably going to talk about, people are going to wonder why we're not talking about certain things, but Sunday evening. And so we've seen 3 out of the 4 NFL games this weekend, but not the 4th one, which is currently being played.
But we actually have 7 games to talk about because we didn't talk about last week's games yet.
It's true.
So that's why I'm saying there's a lot to go through. Now, and before we get to any of the games, there's something that's actually been bugging me for a while.
Things that bug me?
It's the whole purpose of the show is so that you can do a What Bugs Me.
Right, but this is a different kind of What Bugs Me, because this only started bugging me when we started to do the show.
Oh, gosh.
It wasn't bugging me before, because before we ever did a show, for as long as I've known you, you've always been a San Francisco 49ers fan and a Boston Celtics fan. But ever since we started the show, you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan and a Philadelphia 76ers fan. So you need to explain to me and the listeners what changed and when it changed and why it changed.
Okay, so the correction there is I'm not a Sixers fan. I did say that I was cheering for the Sixers over the Raptors, but that was because the Celtics weren't there. But I'm not a Sixers fan.
Okay. That answers that question.
When the Celtics played the Sixers, that's the most contentious games in our home here.
Okay.
That's when stuff gets real in our household.
Okay.
But yes, it did change. My allegiance in football did change. I was a 49ers fan forever, and around the time when my son got started getting interested in football is when the Eagles had Vic and DeSean Jackson and these guys, and there was a really exciting team, and he started to like the Eagles. And then the 49ers started to be bad, right? In the last like 5 years, like after their Super Bowl appearance with Kaepernick, and then they were decent for a year or ish after, and then they sucked. And just around that same time is when my son started going heavy on the Eagles. And as you know, we have very good friends in Philadelphia. We go there often. So we sort of have this allegiance with the city of Philadelphia. And I just got sucked in. And I really like, it's amazing to say, but you're right. I have changed allegiances in football. Like, I watched the 49ers game on Saturday and with no particular rooting interest, to be honest. Like, I wanted them to win, but I was like, not really that badly, you know?
Okay. Well, that that answers my questions at least.
Mm-hmm.
And it explains things.
Sure. So do you want to talk about NFL? Like,
yeah, there's a lot of football to talk about. We have 7 games.
Yeah. I don't know if we'll talk about all
7 of them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I don't think we need to go in depth about all the games from last week. We can touch on them a little bit. But
let's start with last week, because if we don't go chronologically, I'm going to get confused.
Sure. Okay, go for it. You lead the way.
So, I mean, I really only have like one thing to say about each game. One short, quick thing about each game.
Let's do that. Okay.
First of all, even though I know the Patriots sucked the last month or two of the season, I'm still stunned that they are eliminated. I'm thrilled, don't get me wrong, but I'm stunned that they got eliminated. Like, I watched the game, and even when there was like, you know, less than a minute left and Brady had the ball at his own 1 yard line, I'm like, somehow the Patriots are going to win this game. I don't know how, but somehow they're going to win it. And they didn't. And I was stunned.
Me too. When they got the ball at the end, I was like, this is not good. You know, they are going to do it as they always do. Like, you just expect them to win. And I guess that's really probably the end of the Patriots dynasty. Like, it's sad to say, and we don't know that for a fact, but it seems to be like Brady's not getting any younger. He might not even, the rumors are, he's not even coming back to the Patriots. There's all kinds of rumors that he's going to leave. And I mean, yeah, Belichick's still going to be there. So I think they'll always be competitive, but no matter what they do, but let's say Brady's not there next year. Who's their quarterback?
Yeah, that's what I don't get. Like, I can understand. Actually, I can't understand why they would want to get rid of him or let him go or whatever, because they don't have anyone better than him.
I know. Unless it baffles me too.
And even if they draft a quarterback in the first round, whoever they're going to draft is not going to be better than him next year. Maybe one day.
I'm sure he's going to be back next year. I think the whole thing is just being blown out of proportion, like it always is with the Patriots. Everybody is rooting against them, and there's all kinds of rumors and stuff floating around, but I think he'll be back, you know? And I think they'll be fine next year. They'll probably be a competitive team again. Are they Super Bowl contenders now? No.
I don't know that they'll be competitive, because unless they get some wide receivers or a tight end, who is he going to throw to?
Well, I mean, that's why you have an offseason to address the needs, right? They know what their weakness is. Their defense is still pretty good. But next year, I think next year is the year that they're not going to win the division next year.
You see, I thought about that. And if you go back a few weeks, and now we're going back into the regular season, when the Bills played the Patriots the second time they played them, and the Bills had a chance to actually win the division.
Yeah,
and they didn't. Yeah. I was so disappointed because I think, you know, even though Buffalo is an up-and-coming team, I think their window might be closing, actually, because now they had a good season, so they're going to have a tougher schedule next year, Buffalo.
They are, but they still have a quarterback that's getting better every time he plays, and the defense that's pretty solid. So I think they'll be good, no?
Well, anyway, let's segue into the Buffalo-Houston game then, because you said they have a quarterback who's getting better. He played a decent game, at least a decent half.
Don't get me wrong, I don't think he's a great quarterback, but I think he's getting better, and there's potential there, right?
There is potential. There was just that one play where, for some reason, as he was going down, he decided to like lateral it for no reason. All he had to do was go down.
That game was mental. That game was like, I felt like both teams and both coaches didn't want to win. Both teams kept doing idiotic things.
100%. You know? 100%. Neither team wanted to win that game.
Yeah. And in the end, the better team won. But, you know, I felt like O'Brien, the coach of Houston, was like making decisions that were like, what is he doing? And then Buffalo was even worse because they went for it on a fourth down, what they shouldn't have. And, you know, like the whole thing was weird, you know?
But, so. I mean, the whole game was... You recall the play where there's these two Bills who are beelining on Deshaun Watson and both of them hit him. You realize if there's just one player there instead of two Buffalo Bills, he's down. It's only because the other guy, each guy helped him stay up.
Yeah.
Like they sandwiched him so he didn't fall.
Yeah.
If there was only one of them.
That was the only reason.
If there's only one of them, he's down. There's no way he's not falling down.
You're 100% right. Crazy play.
I don't know how he didn't get sacked on that play. And then it leads to like a 60-yard pass and run, whatever.
Yeah. NFL playoffs has been entertaining so far.
I do have one more comment about last week's games.
Mm-hmm.
The New Orleans game.
Yeah.
So, did you watch till the end?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing.
So, with 21 seconds left, they could have used their timeout, and they would have been able to run two, maybe even three plays. And instead of tying the game with a field goal, they might have been able to get a touchdown and win in regulation.
Yeah, instead he didn't use the timeout. He took the runoff, right?
Right, exactly. That was a huge mistake. Huge mistake.
Well, I mean...
But not. I mean, it's easy for me to say that now because they lost the game. But it's a huge... Like, even at the time I said, why wouldn't you use your timeout? Like, you're just going to end up not using it.
Yeah.
What do you have to lose by using it?
I didn't understand it at all. I don't know what he was asked about it. Sean Payton, Sean Payton's the most overrated coach ever, honestly.
He's a good coach. He's not like...
I think he's good, but I mean, he's had Drew Brees for all this time. And think about it. Think about the Patriots, right? They've had Brady for 20 years, right? And they've been good every year, right? The Saints haven't been good every year. There's some games where they're under 500. They don't make the playoffs. Then the next year they do make the playoffs. Then they don't. They're up and down. And they haven't been a consistent franchise, you know? They have their one Super Bowl. You can't take that away from them, you know? But
that's because, and I'm not making excuses, but that's because their defense sometimes is suspect depending on the season. Yeah.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But the Vikings... Zimmer outcoached Peyton because Brees can't throw deep. Brees cannot throw the ball anymore.
But let's go back to that play with 21 seconds left. Had they called a timeout, he didn't need to throw deep.
No, I know, but I'm talking about in general the whole game, how they held them to so little points during the whole game. It's because they know they had their safeties up. They were daring him to throw the ball deep, and he's not going to because he can't. You know, and people are going to clue into it. It reminds me of Peyton Manning a lot in the final years of Peyton Manning. He couldn't throw anymore, you know?
Well, Drew Brees is going to be the starting quarterback in New Orleans next year again.
He is. But like you've heard other people say, the best quarterback for the Saints in that playoff game was Taysom Hill.
What? He had one snap as QB?
He had one. Yeah, and he threw a touchdown. Yeah.
That's a good QB rating, no?
Yeah, very good. Very solid.
Actually, I don't even know how to calculate QB rating, to be honest. It's very complicated. Me neither. It's
convoluted. There's different ones now, right? Because the NFL has their QB rating. ESPN has their own thing called QBR, which is calculated differently. And Pro Football Focus, I think, has their own system. Like, who knows, you know?
Okay, well, I'm done with last week's games, unless you want
to... Well, the Eagles. I just want to...
Oh, of course.
I don't know
I didn't mention.
It just sucked. As an Eagles fan, it just sucked because... They would have, if Wentz doesn't get hit and gets concussed, they win the game. There's no doubt in my mind they win the game.
Well, you can't say that.
You can, because what was the final score? They barely lost.
I know, but you don't know, McCown didn't play so terrible. It wasn't because of him lost.
But Wentz threw a touchdown pass in every single game this season. Every single game.
Okay. I did not know.
So there's no reason to think that they would not have got at least one touchdown had he stayed in the game. And that's all they needed, really. It just sucked. It just sucked. But it kind of epitomized the whole season. The whole season they worked through injuries, and then when they really needed it, their quarterback gets smashed in the head.
I know.
And I don't even want to get into whether it's dirty, not dirty, whatever. I don't think it was really that dirty, to be honest. They didn't complain right when it happened. He stayed in the game for three more plays. No one even knew what happened.
Right, right.
Then when he went out, they went back and looked at the replays.
That's the other thing. You know? So he stayed in the game after it happened.
Yeah.
And then after three or four or five plays or whatever it was, then he took himself out and put himself in concussion protocol.
Well, he didn't take himself out then. Well, they didn't have the ball anymore. So then he sat on the bench and he was like, I'm not feeling good. He put himself into concussion protocol. Actually, the doctor, the independent neurologist, praised Carson Wentz after the game this week, saying that he really did the right move by taking himself out, because some players would have said, I'm going to stay in there. I got to do this for the team. And he realized that he was really... There's conflicting stories about how bad that concussion is, but it was bad because they called his wife to the locker room.
Well, he did the right thing for him, but I bet you there's a ton of Philadelphia Eagles fans who think he did the wrong thing for them.
There probably is, but I mean, if he doesn't even know where he is, how is he going to play, you know?
Right.
Yeah. All right, so then we go to this week.
We go to this week, which I have no notes about because the games just happened.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean.
Well,
go ahead.
We'll start with Saturday's games. And you know how I said to you a few minutes ago, I was stunned that the Patriots are eliminated?
Yeah, Baltimore.
I'm more stunned that Tennessee is still alive right now. That's what I'm more stunned about.
But it's funny because when you look at it before the game started, everybody said Baltimore's going to win, right? They were favored. They were the number one team. Lamar Jackson, there's all the hype. And now looking at it after the game, I'm like, well, it makes sense. Derrick Henry, they couldn't stop him. They couldn't even tackle him. Tannehill played out of his mind. And then they ran this defense that they constructed that Vrabel like came up with, where the two safeties, basically, they didn't let Lamar Jackson do anything. And Lamar Jackson played poorly, regardless of that. He was like overhyped. He was trying to do too many things and he made mistakes. And then playoff games are lost on mistakes, right?
Yeah, but that's still a stunner to me.
100% it's a stunner, you know? And now, next year, the same thing's going to happen. Because no matter what Lamar Jackson does, no matter what he does next year, until he wins a playoff game, everyone's going to say he can't win a playoff game.
Of course, of course. Look,
it just sucks, right?
I didn't think Baltimore was going to win the Super Bowl this year anyway. Like, I thought they were going to win yesterday, but I didn't think they were going to win the Super Bowl.
I read a stat that I think this year, I mean, it's pretty much understood that Lamar Jackson is going to be the MVP of the league this year.
Right, right. I think
so
I read the same
stat. That'll be 21 years since the league MVP won the Super Bowl. And I don't remember who it was.
Has it ever happened?
Yeah, it happened. But it's been like 20 years since it happened.
I thought it's never happened.
Well, you know how the MVP is, you know? It's a bit of a... We talked about this many times. It happens more in other sports, especially in the NBA. Like, it's more about like the narrative and the story. Like, Lamar Jackson's the feel-good story. He's the new thing.
I mean,
right?
He deserves to be the MVP. Like, last year, Pat
Absolutely.
Mahomes deserved to be the MVP.
Absolutely. Speaking of Pat Mahomes.
Okay.
What a game this afternoon. Oh, my God.
So that game was frustrating to me because I was trying to do a bunch of stuff. You know, laundry, cooking, whatever.
Yeah.
And so every time I would look down, there'd be another touchdown.
But not just that, crazy stuff happening. Block kicks for touchdowns.
Yeah.
And then the Chiefs put in Tyreek Hill to punt return because they figured they need a spark. He fumbles. Houston picks it up at the 6-yard line. And then like before you know it, it's 24-0. And then Mahomes decided, I got this. And then the next thing you know, 5 minutes into the third quarter, me and my son were like, okay, this is game's over.
Like, I think they ended up winning by 20, right?
It's the first game I could ever recall. We'd have to look up a stat, but I guarantee it's definitely the first playoff game, probably the first game, I don't know, where a team was down by 20. In this case, they were down by 24, right?
Yeah.
But a team that was down by 20 that won by 20.
I think it is. I think they did say at the end of the game, it's the first time that that's happened.
I mean, you've seen teams down by 20 that have come back to win, you know?
Yes, but not win
by
20.
Seven, by five, you know? Not by 20.
Yeah, that was an insane game.
It was wild. And I mean, like, that game is just like the epitome of entertainment, you know? Like, that's all you need, you know? Like, wow, what a game. Everything happened.
For the gamblers out there.
Yeah.
Kansas City took care of the over-under on their own without, if Houston had scored zero, they still would have had the over.
Right. Amazing. I mean, and then we saved the worst for last, which was the 49ers-Vikings. It's kind of a ho-hum game.
It was a pretty boring game, actually.
I mean, you expected the 49ers to win. I think diehard Viking fans were encouraged because Cousins had such a great game the week before. But I mean, now you're playing the 49ers. Their defense is really good. And Cousins looked like Cousins. That's why Kirk Cousins is kind of disrespected as a quarterback, because 1 week he can look great and then the next week he looks terrible. And what separates good quarterbacks from great quarterbacks from superstars, it's just the consistency. You've got to be able to do it every week, right? You know, so
yeah, I don't have any faith in Cousins. I don't think
he's special, of course not,
or anything special.
He has good
at all.
Weapons around him, you know, Stephon Diggs and Dalvin Cook, you know, like they have good weapons, you know, but San Francisco is a very well rounded team, you know.
So, with regards to this weekend,
Yeah.
I want to tell you, on Friday night, I went to purchase a Proline ticket. That's Mise au Jeu in Quebec.
Right, okay.
I was going to bet on all four games.
Wow.
And I was going to pick, this is against the spread, I was going to pick all the underdogs because
okay.
they were all getting quite a few points.
Right.
Like,
Well, you wouldn't have got Houston. They didn't cover. You wouldn't have got
No,
that,
I wouldn't.
Right?
But they were getting 10 and Minnesota, same thing with Minnesota, I think, was getting
you wouldn't
10.
Have covered.
And yeah. Sorry, Minnesota was getting 7 maybe. I don't know. Anyway,
yeah,
there were a lot of points to be had for the underdogs.
Sure.
So I fill out the ticket. And remember, this is Friday night. And I pick all four visiting teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I give it in. And the girl behind the cash says, no, sorry, you can't do this.
What?
So that's what I said. I'm like, did I maybe color outside the lines? Like, because you know you have to fill in uh-huh. the box, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I took a brand new sheet and I colored yeah. in again and I was more careful this time.
And this, yeah, and this
I,
is great.
I give it back in and she's like, no, you can't do this. And I'm like, what do you mean I can't do this? I'm not, it's Friday night. The games aren't until tomorrow. So I didn't miss the deadline.
Mm-hmm. And she doesn't
sure,
know
and
about
I made sure to color yeah. in the boxes perfectly.
And she can't really give you a reason.
No,
she
well,
just
she's
knows
reading
that the computer's
to me what it says on the screen.
It.
She reads to me uh-huh. what it says on the screen and it says something like, too many people have picked this exact combination and no, they're not accepting any more tickets with this combination.
They shut it down.
They shut it down for that combo. Like if I wanted to change one of the mm-hmm. four games, that's fine. So that frustrated me because if you're going to offer me this ticket, like if you're going to give me these odds or you're going to give me this spread, you should let me purchase yeah. whatever ticket I want to purchase.
You should. Yeah. But I mean, I guess they knew that if all those four games came in, they were going to lose a shitload of money.
I guess. I mean,
right?
basically.
I mean, they've done, like, Proline did the math and they're like, no, we can't take
the
any more bets.
The way it works, just
this.
So you know, if you get all four games right, you get 10 yeah. times your bet.
Okay.
Whatever you bet, you get 10 times. But you have to get all four right. So anyway, so then I figured, okay, I'm going to go to a different place on Saturday morning and try again. Because maybe really? Maybe there was something wrong with her machine. Maybe they'll change the point spread on Saturday and maybe it'll work on Saturday.
Okay.
So I go and I fill in a brand new sheet again, same thing.
Yeah.
And I give it in yeah. and this is a different location. And again, she says to me, no, you can't do this. And there happened to be some other guy in line behind me who was also buying a Proline ticket. And he mm-hmm. says, oh yeah, that happened to me a year ago. They're not letting you do it because too many people are trying that same exact combination. If you change one of your games, it'll probably let you do it. I said, but I don't really want to change one of my games because I think this is what's going to happen. So, but then I figured, you know, it's $2, whatever. I don't really care. I changed one of the games and I gave it in and it worked.
Okay. And the moral of the story is you didn't win anyways.
I didn't win anyways.
Right.
So that's that whole story.
So I know we're not big into predictions, but like, how do you feel about Kansas City, Tennessee next week?
I mean, if you're asking me who I think is going to win, I have to say Kansas City.
Me too. But I really feel like the game's going to be close. Like, I don't think it's going to be a blowout.
Did you see today's Kansas City game?
I know, but the way Derrick Henry runs the ball, like, they're going to have, like, time of possession. Right? They're going to have the clock. So the ball's not going to be in Mahomes' hands as much as it was today. So I think no matter what happens, I'm not saying Tennessee's going to win, but no matter what happens, it is going to be close. But the scary thing about Kansas City when you see them today is it doesn't take them much to score. It's like bing, 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 they're in the end zone.
Right.
Right?
I don't think they're going to score 51 points next week.
Yeah. Mahomes is so much fun to watch. Like the way he throws sidearm, changes his arm angle, like moves around. He's just a pleasure to watch. Honestly, it's beautiful to see and watch him play quarterback. You know, the way he throws the ball.
It's interesting.
But
so,
Derrick Henry is on an unprecedented run right now. I don't know. That's why I mentioned that. Because I don't know if you saw, like if you've been tracking his stats. So like the last three games, he had 211 yards and then 182 yards against New England and then 195 yards today. And the last time he played against Kansas City, which was in November, I believe. No, maybe not. Yeah, November 10th, he rushed for 188 yards against Kansas City. So they're going to run the ball.
Of course
they are. He's
going
to get the yards.
Of course they are. Well,
but the question
is,
yeah.
Did you hear this other stat? So Tennessee has won two games, and mm-hmm. Tannehill has thrown for under 100 yards in both of those games.
Ridiculous.
Okay, and wait. The last time, I think there's only been three times where a playoff team has won two games and the quarterback has thrown for less than 100 yards in both those games.
Wow.
And all three times, that team has won the Super Bowl. Now, oh two of God. Them were in the 70s.
Uh-huh.
So obviously there wasn't as much passing back then.
Okay.
But, and I don't remember when the third one was, but so there you go. I don't know what that means.
I don't know what it means either, but good stat.
Yeah, and I don't think Kansas City's going to score 51 against Tennessee next week.
Right. And then in the NFC, obviously we don't know who's in the championship game yet because the Packers and Seattle are playing right now. By the way, the Packers are up 14-3, I think. But 49ers should be favored regardless, and they're going to be at home too, right? So...
Well, they will be favored if they're at home. But as we saw last week in the wild card weekend, three road teams won last week.
Yeah, yeah. And we talked about it 2 weeks ago. Home field advantage really hasn't been a factor this year in the NFL.
Yeah, it's not an advantage anymore. It's a toss-up.
Well, the NFL playoffs, like I have to admit, it was very entertaining the last 2 weeks because we had like two games each day, right? So it's football overload. Next week, we're going to get back to like... only two games and both of them on Sunday. It was just going to be weird.
Well, this is how it is. Last weekend, in my opinion, was the best weekend. And it gets worse
No, but I think this weekend because the teams were better, no?
I think last week was better because you didn't know who was going to win.
Yes, it's true. You had like some matchups of maybe more even teams as opposed to Kansas City blowing out Houston this week, right?
Right, or San Francisco blowing out Minnesota.
Right, right. No, I get you. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
So I think last weekend was better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I wanted to tell you a stat, by the way.
Okay.
So we always talk about how, like, it's a passing league, right? Which it is.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting is when you look at the teams that had the most passing yards per game this year, Tampa Bay, Dallas, Atlanta, the Rams, those are the top four in the league. All four teams didn't make the playoffs. Kansas City was fifth, they did. And then when you look at the top rushing teams yards per game in the league, Baltimore, San Francisco, Tennessee, Seattle, though all those teams did make the playoffs. So it's kind of interesting because there's this perception, and I'm the one that always puts it out there that the NFL's a passing league now, but maybe it's starting to come the other way, and we're seeing it with Derrick Henry. If you can run the ball with power run, you can win. You know?
I mean,
you know how the NFL is.
The correct answer is you need to be able to do both things.
Yeah, well, Dallas was actually in the top in both, and they didn't make the playoffs, but that's Dallas, right?
Well, that makes their season even worse.
Dallas was the number two in passing yards per game and the number five in rushing yards per game. And they didn't make the playoffs.
How is that even possible?
Well, that's why Jason Garrett got fired. Well, he didn't get fired. They didn't bring him back.
Correct. Right? Correct.
Yeah, correct.
Can we switch to basketball?
The National Basketball Association.
Oh, my Lord. It's not often you ask to switch to NBA, and now not only that, I didn't even have NBA in my notes.
Okay, well,
at all.
three interesting / crazy things happened in the NBA this week, and I want to mention all three of them.
Okay, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I do have one weird NBA note, and if you have the same story, I will be surprised.
I'm sure your one is on my list of three. I'm sure of it.
I don't think so.
I'm sure.
I don't think so. Okay, let's see.
Well, so what's your one? Tell me your one.
It has nothing to do with any gameplay. It's something that happened at halftime.
Okay, so go ahead. Tell me.
So they had this thing in Madison Square Garden for the Knicks.
Okay, I don't have this on my list.
Okay, a guy hit a half-court shot, you know, like at halftime.
Yeah.
And he won $1,000. $1,000.
It's not a lot.
No, $1,000 of New York scratch lottery tickets. New York State scratch lottery tickets. That's what he won. Okay?
It's not even a good prize.
A week ago, a guy in the Lakers game hit the exact same shot at center court and won $100,000 cash.
That's a prize.
So I think that tells you, is that indicative of what's going on with the Lakers and what's going on with the Knicks? I hope not, but I just want to put that out there because I thought it was a crazy story.
I mean, I'm sure that the Knicks contest was sponsored by New York Lottery, and that's why that was.
But then, you know, they could also give more than $1,000, right?
They could also just give him cash.
They could. They should. And you should have seen he was running around and jumping around, and his friends were jumping on him because he hit the shot. But like, $1,000 of scratch lottery tickets. I mean, I hope he wins a whole bunch of money, but I guarantee you he didn't get $1,000, $100,000. Out of that one.
Did he know before he took the shot what the prize was?
I think he must have. Anyways, you go. You tell me what you want to talk about.
Okay.
See, I told you mine wasn't on your list.
Okay, so three interesting things / crazy things happened this week in the NBA. Mm-hmm. First of all, did you see what happened to Joel Embiid's finger?
Disgusting.
Okay, I saw that. I'm like, are you kidding me? Is that for real?
You can't watch that because you're very squeamish.
I almost had to look away. Like, I saw it the first time, but then every time they showed it again, I couldn't look.
Yeah, I know. You can't look at that. That's not good for you. Yeah.
So that's one crazy thing that happened.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally hanging there like...
Yeah.
Like, not a finger. Like, I don't know what.
It's like Moises Alou's ankle.
Yeah. Yeah. The next crazy thing that happened was... This wasn't during a game, but I don't know if you heard... After the Miami Heat-Indiana Pacers game, there was an altercation during the game between Jimmy Butler and TJ Warren.
I heard about this, yeah.
Did you hear Jimmy Butler's post-game comments? Because they were classic.
I read about it on Twitter, but like, refresh my memory. He was basically saying like, who is this guy? And like, and so, what is so, he bothering
so,
me?
I mean, you know, one thing I hate is when they interview athletes and they say nothing, but Jimmy Butler at least says something, or at least this time he said something.
He always says what's on his
mind. Jimmy Butler just said exactly what he wanted to say. And I'm going to paraphrase because I don't remember the exact quote and he swore also, so yeah. I don't want to do that. But yeah. He basically said, you know, when we play the Heat again, they shouldn't put him on me. Because he can't guard me. Like, he has no chance.
Not when we play the Heat, when we play the Pacers.
Sorry, when we play the Pacers again, they shouldn't put him on me because he can't guard me. He has no chance against me. That's the difference. He cannot guard me. He's not in my league. And right. he inserted some swear words in the middle there that I'm intentionally leaving out. But it was just so funny because he said it like... He said it just so matter-of-factly. Like, it wasn't like, no, that guy can't guard me. You know, it wasn't like he was giving his opinion. He was stating a fact.
Right.
And it was hilarious.
Well, now I think Jimmy Butler became your number one NBA player now.
He's
your favorite, no?
One of my favorite players now, just because of the comments that he made. It was hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the third and final crazy thing that happened in the NBA this week.
Yeah.
Did you see any of the Lakers game versus the Mavericks?
No, I think I saw some highlights.
So this was Luka Doncic.
Luka Doncic tore his shirt. Is that the game?
Luka Doncic, he went full John Pesner.
John Pesner. No, he tore his shirt, right?
Listen to this. He took a bad shot, and then a few seconds later, he made a bad pass, and he was pissed off at himself, and he literally ripped his shirt during the game.
For people out there that don't know, the inside joke is John Pesner is a guy that me and Josh know that used to tear his shirt when we used to play softball. End of story.
So I saw this happening. I'm like, he went full John Pesner. And I thought it was hilarious.
But you see him tearing his shirt and it's difficult. He had trouble doing it, right?
Because, you know, that part of the shirt is, it's like, it's not like a stupid little cotton t-shirt that you can tear. It's, you know.
Yeah, it was on the V part,
right?
Right. Like, yeah.
And then because there was like a minute left in the half, he had to play with it for the rest of the half. I think at halftime, he went and got a new shirt or something. I don't know what. But it was funny to see him. He's taking free throws with, like, now the V is much bigger and he's trying to cover it up. And anyway, it was just hilarious.
Awesome. What else you got?
That's it for basketball. I got some hockey stuff.
Let's do it.
The National Hockey League.
I have hockey notes. You want to know exactly what my hockey notes say?
Sure.
NHL. Habs stink.
So
that's what it says.
So the Canadiens... made another blockbuster trade. It seems like every week they make another trade.
Well, what did they do?
Well, they traded Michael McCarron.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I don't know if you heard this stat. So now with the trade of Mike McCarron, that's the sixth consecutive first round draft pick that has not worked out for the Canadiens.
I think it's more than that. No?
Well, maybe not six consecutive. It might be more than six, but six consecutive.
Yes,
now,
yes, yes.
Now, in fairness to Marc Bergevin, he only drafted three of those six, so I can't blame him for all six.
And Sergachev is one, and they got Drouin, so that's...
Right,
you know.
We have to wait and see.
Yeah.
But since we're talking about trades, we didn't do this last episode. We wanted to talk about some of the trades that Marc Bergevin has made.
Oh, yes. You mentioned it, and then we never got back to it.
Right. So let's talk about it now.
Okay, sure.
So you know how it is when there's a trade made in any sport. Immediately, seconds later, every fan, every media person, everyone tries to say, oh, well, they definitely won the trade. No, they definitely won the trade. But the truth is, sometimes you don't know for a bunch of years. You have to wait and see, especially if there's draft picks involved.
Right.
So let's talk about the PK Subban trade first, I guess. At the time, I know a lot of people were very unhappy with the trade, partly because PK Subban is a bit younger, and also he was a fan favorite for a lot of fans.
Yeah.
And for the first year or two, it actually looked like it was a bad trade for the Canadiens. Shea Weber wasn't healthy all the time. The Canadiens weren't playing well with or without him.
Nashville made it to the finals.
Right.
Subban. Right.
But now if you look at the trade today.
Yeah. Subban is not the same player. He's slowed down a lot.
And,
he's not
and
as
Nashville
dynamic.
Deemed him expendable and traded him. Whereas the Canadiens still have Shea Weber.
And Shea Weber is a very effective, good player.
So if you had to evaluate the trade today, I think you could say that the Canadiens got the better of that trade.
I do agree, yeah.
Now again, Subban is still a couple of years younger, I think.
Yeah.
And so we could talk about this in 2 years from now and we can have a different opinion. But
of course,
right now today, I think that was a good trade for the Canadiens.
Sure.
Then let's take a look at the... which one do you want to do next?
I don't know. You have a list. Go for it.
Okay.
Max Domi?
Sure. Let's do that one.
Yeah.
So at the time, I didn't like that trade at the time it was made.
Right.
Because...
It was Galchenyuk for Domi straight up, wasn't it?
It was, I think. Yeah. And I mean, Galchenyuk was a third overall pick.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to be, you know, the number one center, the top line center on the team. This is what everyone was
talking about. Yeah, even though they didn't play him at center.
Right. Well, no, I'm saying before he played a game.
I know.
That's what they were all saying.
Yeah.
And so at the time, I didn't like the trade. But meanwhile...
Domi had a great year last year. And then Arizona traded Galchenyuk. And
Galchenyuk's
kind of a journeyman now.
Arizona thought, okay, Galchenyuk's expendable. We don't really need him. He's not working out. The Canadiens still have Max Domi. Max Domi is one of the best players on the team this year, actually, as sad as that is.
He was the best player last year. This year, he's good, right?
Yeah, he's still good. So again, if you want to evaluate that trade, I think the Canadiens won that trade as well.
Yeah. And then the other one that they won also is trading Max Pacioretty.
Now, this one is not as clear cut because...
No, it's not.
I do like Thomas Tatar and I do like Nick Suzuki.
Yeah.
But Max Pacioretty is going to the All-Star game this year.
No, no. Pacioretty is still a very, very good player. Don't get me wrong.
But he wouldn't be doing... What he's doing now in Vegas, he wouldn't be doing that if he was on the Canadiens.
He absolutely would not. And I can't tell you how much I love Nick Suzuki. I think Nick Suzuki is going to lead the Canadiens in scoring starting next year and every year that he plays for the Canadiens.
That's a bold prediction.
Like, I think he's going to be our best forward for his starting next year till for the next however long they keep him.
In any case, those three trades, I think... the Canadiens got the better of those three trades. Now, the fourth one is Jonathan Drouin for Sergachev.
Yeah.
Sergachev had a great season last year.
Yeah, and he's doing very well this year.
And Drouin did not have such a great season last year.
No. And that one, the jury's still out because both players are still young.
Drouin's injured, so it's hard to say.
It's hard to say.
So,
but the teams each addressed their need, right? Tampa felt they didn't need Drouin because they had enough forwards, which they do, and they needed a defenseman. They needed Sergachev. Canadiens felt they needed to get some offense. That's why they got Drouin. And it sort of worked when he was healthy this year because he was playing well.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So that leads me to what I wanted to say. Of course, you know, the Canadiens, until yesterday, they had lost eight games in a row for the second time this year. And of course, everyone in Montreal is saying, fire the coach, fire the general manager. I don't think they should fire the general manager because I think Bergevin's done overall a decent job, actually.
Well, it goes back to what I said last time in that, like, he doesn't want to rebuild. He wants to contend and also rebuild at the same time, which is difficult to do. But now he's in this situation where they stink. They're going to not be in the playoffs again. So you really have to say, like, let's just rebuild. They should trade everybody. You know, Kovalchuk's playing great, right, since they signed him?
Well, he has one goal.
Well, I know, but he's got a point, I think, in every game, and he's been playing well. And they should trade him at the trading deadline. Like, they should trade him at the trading deadline.
Yes, yes. Well, that's the thing. So what I was going to say is, I agree. Like, they're not going to make the playoffs. Or, you know, they might squeak into the playoffs and lose in the first round. Whatever. It doesn't really matter.
No, they're not.
But I would prefer that they be sellers at the deadline. That's my preference. And if there was ever any season where the Canadians should tank and try to get the first pick overall, it's totally this season.
Yeah, Alexis Lafreniere.
Exactly. Like, I'd be stunned if the people up in upper management, you know, drooling over this French Canadian kid, you know, who could potentially change the whole franchise. I mean, he could also end up being Alexander Daigle.
Josh, RDS and TVA Sport are already like projecting, like they're already talking about Lafreniere, you know? But there's no guarantee you're going to get that pick. You know, there's like,
I know,
you could still finish last and still not get the first pick.
You're right. You're absolutely right. But if you make the playoffs, you're definitely not getting that pick.
No, but I mean, they should try to get as best a draft pick as they can, you know, honestly.
Right. And I wouldn't trade up to get that pick because that's a mistake.
Well, depends what.
No, I wouldn't do it. I would not trade up to get a pick. In fact, I would never, unless you're talking about, you know, Connor McDavid or Sidney Crosby or Wayne Gretzky, which Gretzky wasn't even drafted, by the way. But unless you're talking about like one of those like ridiculous players, so I wouldn't trade up to get him. But if you happen to get the first pick, yes, I would take him. So that leads to...
If I had the second pick or the third pick, I'd try to offer my pick plus something to get number one.
You're going
to
have to give up too much.
Well, whatever.
You're going to have to give up too much. And the truth is... You can look back at the history of drafts. I mean, again, unless it's Connor McDavid or Sidney Crosby, there's not a huge difference between like pick number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in most years.
You're right, there isn't. No, there isn't. There isn't.
In fact, I was reading this stat. I went back and looked at all the Canadians' first round picks for the last like 20, 30 years.
Oh, yay.
There are some players that the Canadians picked in the first round who never even played a game in the NHL. Like, I can understand you pick a guy that doesn't pan out and he doesn't do as well as you think. But, like, how do you not even play one game in the NHL?
But you should do that exercise with other teams because other teams, we pick on the Canadians, but other teams have had also draft failures to that extent.
I guess.
You know?
I guess.
But what you did start this segment with, which is like how basically none of their first round picks for the last 6 years are not even on the team. Right? Mm. They're not even in the organization.
Not the last 6 years. 6 years in a row, but not the last six.
Not the last six because Cole Caulfield and,
right.
Yeah, you're right. It's going back 3 years ago, maybe. Right,
right. Anyway, just to finish off, I'm interested to see what the Canadians are going to do at the trade deadline. And this, what happens in the next month or two will determine if Marc Bergevin is a good general manager or not.
Well, he's said many times he's not going to trade his prospects to get guys. He's just not.
I don't want him to trade the prospects. I want him to trade Weber and Price, and I want him to get something good in return.
I don't think that's happening, but I think you can see other guys going, like Jeff Petrie. You know, it's those type of players.
Yeah, but what are you going to get for Jeff Petrie?
I don't know. What are you going to get for Price? No one's got... You can't trade Price at the deadline.
Why not? Like,
because Who are the buyers at the deadline?
Like the 4 or 6 or 8 teams that think they can win the Stanley Cup.
Now, don't you think those teams have a good goalie already?
Most of them do, yes.
So why would any team that's a buyer, there's no team that's a buyer that needs Carey Price unless the week before the trade deadline their goalie gets injured
season. You know, there are two teams that actually both think they can win the Stanley Cup and neither of them have a number one goalie in my opinion.
Who is that?
The Calgary Flames and the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, the Flames' goaltending situation is ugly.
And I don't... I mean,
although the fact that they think they can win the Stanley Cup is extremely far-fetched.
Well, I think they're first in their division.
Yeah, and then the Oilers... Well, they were best team in the West last year.
The Flames were.
Yeah, the Flames were.
Yeah.
The Oilers, yeah, their goaltending situation is not great either. Yeah, you got a point there, Josh.
So
Carey Price, he's from the Western Canada. Maybe he'd accept a trade to the Flames.
I mean, I don't know if he would accept a trade or not, but I'm just throwing that out there.
Well, he has a full no movement clause, so any movement of Carey Price has to be approved by Carey Price.
Of course. Yeah.
And I think he's so frustrated, I think he would entertain it. He would entertain leaving.
Well, I said this to you a year ago. If a team wants to trade you, why would you refuse to go? Why would you want to stay on that team?
Well, I don't think they want to trade him, but like any GM will say, like offers come in and you listen to them, you know?
But you're right though. Like trading Price and Weber is virtually impossible because of the contracts that they have.
That too, yeah.
Now, one thing I just want to point out to you, Nashville fired their coach, Peter Laviolette.
I don't like that guy at all.
I'm not saying that you should like him or not like him. I just want you to know, just because he has a French last name doesn't mean he's a candidate to be the Canadiens coach. Just wanted you to know that.
I told you who the next coach of the Canadiens is. I told you this already at the beginning of the year. The thing with the Canadiens, you know, you can already look years ahead who the next coach is going to be.
Is it the former Ottawa coach? Is that who you think it's going to be?
No. I think it's Joel Bouchard, who's the coach of Laval right now.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Before we sign off, remember, you can listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Skip and Josh podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and of course, Spotify. If you listen to the show through Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review. We would love to hear from you via email, skipandjoshshow@gmail.com, via Twitter @skipandjosh, or by liking and following our Facebook page. As always, you can get all the links to everything I just talked about on our website, skipandjosh.com.
We leave you with this.
Yeah, we leave you with this. What do you have? You have anything to leave the listeners with?
Yes, Josh? I do. So you told me about this new show that started a week ago called Party of Five.
Oh, you stole my notes. I have it on my notes here.
I didn't know that's what you were going to talk about.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
I used to watch, of course, the old Party of Five, 10, 15, 20 years ago? I don't even remember how long ago it was.
It was in the 90s. It was in the 90s, yeah.
So I did watch the new one that started this week. I'll be honest with you, I don't like it as much as the old one. That's 100% for sure.
Yeah.
But the only thing I wanted to mention about the show is, I don't know if you're aware of this, do you know where the show is filmed?
Probably in Vancouver.
Montreal.
That show is filmed in Montreal.
The new Party of Five is filmed in Montreal.
Oh my God. I'm going to have to go scout out the sets and
not every, see if I not can every find scene, out where they're like, filming. I mean, there are some scenes filmed in California, course. Whatever. But I think a good chunk of the show is filmed in Montreal.
That's a first, right? Well, you know, the original Party of Five took place in San Francisco. And this one, they made a point of saying that it's in LA. So I just thought that was weird. So it's kind of strange that Montreal could look like LA because
the thing is, like, if you watch, you can't tell that it's Montreal.
No, it's probably when they're in their homes and in their school or whatever. Right. So did you like the show?
The first episode, I found, like, you know, you have this whole conflict where they come and get arrested.
Yeah.
And then, like, 20 minutes later, there's already a trial. But you know as well as I do that in situations like this, it takes months before these things go to trial. And so that kind of annoyed me that there was already a trial within like 20 or 30 minutes of the first episode.
Yeah, and they said it was a week went by, I think they
said.
6 weeks,
or 4 days.
6 weeks. Yeah. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the show enough that I'll keep watching it.
Now, I'll have you know, I was reading online, there's some people, like this wouldn't bother anyone in Canada, but it bothers people in the States because they're using the whole...
It's very politicizing the whole detainee and immigrants.
Right,
and all this
and
stuff.
So there's a lot of people in the States that don't like the fact that they're using that as the, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, the main plot of the show.
Right. I thought it was clever. Like, I thought, why not? And actually, I don't think they politicized it really in towards the left or towards the right. They just presented this situation, right? The parents are gone and they got deported. Now they're in Mexico, right? Like, and the father freely admits that, yeah, I had no papers, right? Like, so, I don't know.
Anyway, I'm just telling you what I read online.
Yeah, no, no. I mean, of course, we're in the era of, it's 2020, right? So no matter what you watch, listen, read, you have to be outraged about something.
Right. So anyway, I stole your thunder. What were you going to say about the show?
Well, I had notes. I was going to ask you, like, about Party of Five, and also another show that hasn't been on for 25 years was rebooted for real with the same actors, which was part, Mad About You, which I know a show that you liked back in the day.
I did like it back in the day. I haven't been able to see it because I don't get that channel right now. So
it's very obscure. It's on like CTV Comedy and it's on at 10 o'clock at night. It was okay. It was okay. I mean, you know, I laughed. I thought it was cute, but is it like must viewing? No, it's certainly not. The show that is must viewing, which is coming up on January 23rd, is another Star Trek show called Picard, which is, I mean, you don't care about this, but like Star Trek fans, this is like the most anticipated show of the year, you know?
So I saw the commercial for that, and the only thing that came into my mind is, what, another Star Trek show? Like, how many of these are there going to be?
Well, it better be good. That's all I have to say, because they did make a new Star Trek show 2 years ago called Star Trek Discovery, which was complete garbage, like utter garbage. And so I really have high hopes for Picard, and I hope it's good. So,
well, you were very disappointed with the new Star Wars, so...
Well, that's awful, but that's a whole other story. We can do a whole podcast about that.
No, but I mean, there are a lot of people, like a lot of Star Wars fans don't like Star Trek fans and vice versa. Yeah. So...
Yeah, no, I like both. Okay, so that's all I got for today.
Okay.
I'll talk to you next time.
Perfect.